Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jana Vallabha Sri Bharatari Gopi Jana Vallabha Sri Bharatari Yashodanandana Vrijanaranjana Yashodanandana Vrijanaranjana Yamunatira Vanachari Namunati Ravanachari Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jayo Radha Madhava Gopi Jana Vallabha Sri Bharatari Gopi Jana Vallabha Sri Bharatari Chorananandana Vrijanaranjana Yashodanandana Vrijanaranjana Yamunatira Vanachari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama Rama, Rama, Hare Hare Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivagacharya Sura Sata His Divine Grace Esi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda Ki Iskon Phongracharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Prem Si Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Tagadadar Sri Vasudhi Gaur Bhakta Vindaki. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 10, Text 8. Sri Narada Vacha. Nahi Anyo Jusato Josyan. Nahi Anyo Jusato Josyan. Buddhi Brahmsho Rajo Guna. Buddhi Brahmsho Rajo Guna. Sri Mada Ravi Jatya Dear. Sri Mada Ravi Jatya Dear. Yatra Sri Jyutam Ashava. Yatra Sri Jyutam Ashava. Sri Narada Vacha. Nahi Anyo Jushato Josyan. Buddhi Bhamsho Rajo Guna. Sri Madhada Vijatya Dir. Yatra Sri Jyutam Asava. Sri Narada Uvacha. Nahi Anyo Jusato Josyan. Buddhi Brahmsho Rajo Guna. Sri Mada Davi Jatya Dir. Yatra Sri Jyutam Asava.
Yeah.
Sri Narada Vacha. Narad Muni said, now there is not he indeed anya, another material enjoyment, jushata, of one who is enjoying, joshyan, things very attractive in the material world. Different varieties of eating, sleeping, mating, and defense. Buddhi Brahmsaha. Such enjoyments attract the intelligence. Rajaguna. Being controlled by the mode of passion. Sri Madat. Dan riches. Avijatya. Adhi, among the four material principles, attractive personal bodily features, born in an aristocratic family, being very learned, and being very rich, yatra, wearing, shri, women, dutam, gambling, asava, wine. Wine, women, and gambling are very prominent. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Narada Muni said, among all the attractions of material enjoyment, the attraction of riches bewilders one's intelligence more than having beautiful bodily features, taken birth in an aristocratic family and being learned. When one is uneducated but falsely puffed up by wealth, the result is that one engages his wealth in enjoying wine, women, and gambling. Purpose. Among the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, people are certainly conducted by the lower qualities, namely passion and ignorance. And especially by passion. Conducted by the mode of passion, one becomes more and more involved in material existence. Therefore, human life is meant for subduing the modes of passion and ignorance and advancing in the mode of goodness. Tadas rajas tamo bhava kama labhadayas chaye cheta itar anavidham stetam sattve Prasidati, Bhagavatam 1:2:19. This is culture. One must subdue the modes of passion and ignorance. In the mode of passion, when one is falsely proud of wealth, one engages his wealth only for three things, namely wine, women, and gambling. We can actually see, especially in this age, that those who have unnecessary riches simply try to enjoy these things, these three things. In Western civilization, these three things are very prominent because of an unnecessary increase of wealth. Narada Muni considered all this in the case of Manigriva and Nala Kuvara because he found in them so much pride in the wealth of their father Kuvera. Om Gyana Charmana Sagan and Jana Shalaka Sakramutam Vina Tasma Shri Gurubhya Namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Namini Namasi Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pachani Nevishesha Shunya Vadi Kashita Dishitani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Rita Gadada Shivasadi Gaurav Bhakti Vinayaka. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is actually a scriptural injunction here. Among all the attractions of material enjoyment, the attraction of riches bewilders one's intelligence more than having beautiful bodily features taken birth in an aristocratic family and being learned. And these two personalities, Managriva and Nalakuvara, they are coming from the source of wealth, Kuvira. Kuvira is the demigod of wealth. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, of Yakshas and Rakshasas, I am Kuvira, the Lord of Wealth. See? So, briefly we can look at the the background of these two personalities, their father, Kuvira. Kuvira was the grandson of the mind-born son of Lord Brahma, Pulastya. Pulastya's son was Vaishrava. And Vaishrava's son was Vaishravana, who was Kuvira. And he performed great austerities, and because of that, Lord Brahma blessed him, gave him a special position, one of the four lokapalas, and he also gave him the pushpaka chariot. He was actually residing in Lanka, which is Sri Lanka, and he had immense wealth. I think that wealth was created by Vishvakarma. He built great palaces and so forth. But when Ravana became powerful also, from boons from Lord Brahma, he didn't want Kuvira there. So, I mean, there would have been a great fight, but Kuvira, being a peaceful person, decided to go to Kailasha, Mount Kailash, and there he resided in Alakshapuri, Alakshapur, special place in Mount Kailash, and he had, he also got immense wealth there again. Because from a description in the Mahabharata, when Bhima went to get the golden lotus flower for his wife, Draupadi, he encountered Kuvira's palace and the Rakshasas and so forth. And there was a great fight there. And then there was a description of the wealth of Kuvira there. So Kuvira has great wealth, immense wealth. But it's strange to understand that those things cannot be seen in this age. But at the end of Dwarpa Yuga, I mean, that was present because there's vivid and clear description that they were there. So these boys, they grew up in immense wealth. But we can see also they also had some sort of a yaksha, rakshasa nature in them, you know, being born from Kuvira. It's explained that even Kuvira, I mean, his features were somewhat rakshasa-like, you know. If we know what that means, he had like one eye and so forth. Or one of his eyes was blinded because he was looking lustfully at Parvati, I think. Something like that. Anyhow, so we can see that the background of Nalakuvara and Managriva were such that they grew up in immense wealth. And so they just were very puffed up and proud. See? Very puffed up and proud, and they didn't care. A great personality like Narada was coming, and instead of covering themselves, they were so intoxicated with wine and with pride that he didn't care to cover himself. And so Narad would give them the proper remedy. This seems to have taken place in the latter part of Dwarpa Yuga, because they were coursed for 1,000 celestial years. And Dwarpa Yuga has 2,000 celestial years. Yeah, 2,000. Kaliyuga has 1,000 celestial years. So so it would have been maybe at the middle of Dwarpa Yuga. Oh, sorry, not 1,000 celestial years. They were coursed for 100 celestial years. Total 6,000 human years they had to stand as trees. So around that time. And so that was the fitting punishment and benediction for them, because eventually they would see Lord Krishna. And as I explained yesterday, that because Narad was friend of Kuvira, he tried to help them out too, whereby they would get the blessings of Lord Krishna eventually. And so that was good for them also. So this wealth seems to be a very powerful influence on us all, but especially for those that are influenced by the modes of passion and ignorance. There was another great personality called Nahusha. If some of you can remember, he mentioned in a Bhagavatam earlier. He was a great personality on earth, a great king. And then he was elected to be to take the post of Indra, because for Indra's offense. And so he became the king of heaven. And then with the wealth and power there, he also became very proud. And at the end of his course in heaven, he was speaking to Maharaj Yudhishthira. He says, "O king, you should know for certain that prosperity acts as a powerful intoxicant upon the conditioned soul. If he happens to be a very wise or heroic personality, thus by association with great opulences, even a man of discrimination gradually loses his good intelligence and falls down." So we see that wealth, if a person with great intelligence, great discrimination, can become carried away by it. See? And Nahusha was a good example of that. He had to stay as a serpent for many, many years. But then, because he begged for, he was repentant, Agastya told him that when the great Yudhishthira come on earth, you will be freed. See? Great personality like Maharaj Yudhishthira. And in the lives of many other personalities, even Indra himself, he was also very puffed up of his position. Once when Durvasa was giving him that garland, if you could remember that story. And then he gave the garland to the elephant. And the elephant smashed it to the ground. And Durvasa cursed him. See? But that was due to his puffed up nature again. And then there was this other personality, Drupada. When he was just an ordinary brahmachari, he told his friend Drona that when I become a king, I would give you half of my kingdom. But when he became king, and Dronacharya went for help, he told him, "How can a king have a papa for a friend?" I couldn't remember what I told you in the past, but I'm a king, you're a papa, we cannot be equal. You know, he forgot his promise and everything, so you could see wealth immediately, swell overhead. You see? So in this verse, Srila Prabhupada is explaining. In fact, he quoted a verse from the Bhagavatam. Tada rajas tamo bhava kama lobhadayas chaye etar etir anavidham stitam sattve prasidati. And the translation for that is, as soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire, and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness, and he becomes completely happy. So as we engage in devotional service, we may start out in ignorance and passion, whatever situation we may start out in. But as we engage in devotional service and follow the four regulative principles and chant our rungs nicely, the heart becomes purified. And as the heart becomes purified, we're situated in goodness. See? We start to transcend the modes of passion and ignorance. And as we become situated more in goodness, we become situated eventually in pure goodness. See? We are able to transcend the modes of nature. And we are able to transcend goodness also. See? But that comes by following the principles nicely, chanting our rungs nicely, and engaging in devotional service. See? It says at the beginning, Sattvam Rajas Tamaiti Guna Prakriti Sambhava. Material nature consists of the three modes, that is passion, goodness, and ignorance. And the living entities, when the living entities come in contact with these modes, it becomes conditioned by these modes. See? Sattvam Sukhe Sanjayati Raja Karmam Bharata. The mode of goodness conditions one to happiness. Passion conditions one to fruitive work, and ignorance to madness or demoniac activities. So these three modes, we become conditioned by them. But in this age, we become conditioned especially by passion, ignorance. Well, for the devotees, maybe I should not say we. For the devotees, they can rise above these modes. But for the conditioned living entities, see, the conditioned living entities, they become entangled by these modes, so much so that passion and ignorance is prevalent everywhere and prominent everywhere. See? And so people being influenced by these modes, if we're not careful, we can also become influenced by that. That is why in devotional service, we accept those things that are favorable, seek the association of devotees. So in that way, we're not being bombarded by these influences. See? By seeking association of devotees, we're able to alleviate ourselves from these prominent modes. See, live in a holy place. Unfortunately, we may not be able to live in Vrindavan, but at least we can live in all or near all these temples that have been established by ISKCON. See? So it's like a holy dam here, a holy theater here. Listen to Srimad Bhagavatam regularly. See? Listen to the Srimad Bhagavatam regularly. And serve the deities. See? So these things, association of devotees, reside in a holy place, listen to Srimad Bhagavatam, serve the deities. What else, Keshav? chant the holy names. See? If we do these things nicely, then we can easily cross over the misery of this material world, and we can easily go back to the spiritual world. See? The process, sometimes it's so simple that it becomes difficult to understand these things. But of course, most of us are doing these things really. But we would start to experience inner peace and happiness and satisfaction as we engage nicely in the process, chant our wrongs nicely, sit with the devotees and chant, you know, don't jump around too much and talk too much and so forth. That really helps to keep us focused and purified and follow the principles nicely, serve nicely, see? Then we start to experience an inner bliss, an inner joy that cannot be experienced by any other thing. See? Cannot be experienced. See, and as devotee become more and more advanced, he becomes self-satisfied, totally satisfied. He's not satisfied anymore by pleasures that comes from wine and sex life and food and all these things. See? He is self-satisfied. See? As he becomes fully advanced. And so, and as he engages in the Lord's service spontaneously, he is in constant eternal bliss. So if you look in the Varnashram system also, the personalities that are head of the Varna and head of the Ashram, they gave up this thing that's called wealth. In the Ashram, the sannyasis, he doesn't have any possession. The most he has is his begging bowl, his rod, danda, and his clothing. See? He gave up everything because he realizes that really all these things, we don't really own anything. Everything belongs to the Lord. See? So that's the head of the ashram. And the head of the varna, or the social system, the brahmanas, is also in that position. He lives a simple life. See? He lives a simple life and he makes his living by studying the Vedas, teaching it, collecting alms. See? So that is why. But to reach this stage cannot be done superficially. I mean, the Varnashram system was geared towards, or was established in gearing us towards this end. So eventually, one becomes free from all the entanglements and attachment of the Lord, of the world. But when one is a devotee and fully established in devotional service, and the greatest example is Srila Prabhupada, then all the wealth in the world doesn't matter. He would not become carried away by that. He can use all the wealth, and he can take more wealth too, and use it for the service of Krishna. See? So if a devotee can use what he has, and usually he does, then he can able to he can able to have possessions and still not have them. See? Because he's utilizing them in Krishna's service. He sees everything as the property of Krishna. And so, wealth or no wealth doesn't matter to him. See? He is above these modes. He's not influenced by passion, ignorance that we've seen that's happening in this world every day. I mean, because we're in this world, sometimes you cannot avoid hearing and avoid seeing. And Srila Prabhupada within this purport explained that in the Western civilization, these things are very prominent. And he said, we can actually see, especially in this age, that those who have unnecessary riches simply try to enjoy these things, these three things. See? When people get so much wealth, and you must have heard there was a great golfer called Tiger Wood. He got immense wealth from his plane. And from that, if you heard, he had immense women. So much so that, he ended up losing half of everything, which usually happens in here. And so many of these other personalities, you see, they got wealth easily through singing or acting or whatever. And then you can see that, they start to get into intoxicants and women and men and so forth. And they, and then their life becomes so miserable. So we don't want to become influenced by these things and the material world and these modes. We want to become influenced by the process of devotional service and take to it seriously. And so that we can influence others, we can help to spread this culture to the whole world. So that this world can take up the Sat Yuga atmosphere. When Lord Krishna was speaking to Uddhava, he says, in every age, at some point, Satyuga atmosphere has been established. And that is dependent upon the consciousness of the living entities. And this movement has been established by Lord Chaitanya, and we've seen that Srila Prabhupada came to the West and done so much. And it's spreading like wildfire. See? And the possibility exists that we can, for this 10,000 years, we can establish back this Sat Yuga atmosphere. But this is possible through us, all of us. See? And then, by us taking seriously, we can influence others and bring them to Krishna consciousness. And so for this time, this period, this world could be like a utopian. See? Like a Satyuga atmosphere. I'll stop here if there's any comment or question.
Hare Krishna. Could you elaborate on transcending the mode of goodness?
Yes. In the first canto, Srila Prabhupada was saying that the brahmanas are generally in the mode of goodness, but that is not enough, whereby they have Brahman realization. From that platform, he comes to the point of understanding Krishna's position as the Supreme Lord, as the controller of everything, as the enjoyer of everything. And from that platform, it's easy to understand Krishna's position and easy to engage in his service. You see? When we engage in Krishna's service, we transcend the mode of goodness.
But while you're engaging in the service, aren't you in the perfect mode of goodness?
Repeat the question.
When you are engaged in Krishna's devotional service, aren't you exemplifying the perfect mode of goodness? So how is it transcended?
When we are engaging in Krishna service, that is transcendental activity. We can be in the mode of ignorance, we could be in the mode of passion, or we could be in the mode of goodness. We can be influenced, or we can predominated by any one of these modes. But whilst engaging in Krishna service, that's transcendental, that transcendence. Just like now, especially in Kali Yuga, stated that everyone is sutra or lower, see? And so, but we are engaging in Krishna service. But we have been influenced by these modes for such a long time, and especially in Kali Yuga, that we're not even in goodness. But because of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and the mercy of Guru, we're able to engage in Krishna service. But as we engage and engage, we're coming clear of ignorance and passion and even goodness. But we're coming to goodness also, because I don't have the Srimad Bhagavatam here, but there was a nice way of Srila Prabhupada explaining how I just had a little piece here. So one rises above passion and ignorance to the sattva guna platform, then to the Vaishnava. Then to the Vaishnava platform. But and of course we know the different grades of Vaishnava. One might be in the Kanishta stage, and then Uttama, Kanishta, Madhyama, and then Uttama. But moving through these modes, even though we engage in service, we can still be influenced by these modes. And we can see, that is why sometimes some people, you know, they engage for a little while, and they go outside back, and they stay there for a long time, and then maybe come back. Or, you know, so many ways really, but you could see that they're influenced. But when you come here, when we engage in devotional service, that's transcendental activities. See? And for that time, we're not influenced. But because we've been predominated by passion ignorance, when we go there, we become easily influenced also. We become more influenced there. You see? But when we come to this higher platform of, well, Brahminical stage, then rise above, then one is not shaken easily. I mean, of course, there are more elaborate explanations, really. I mean, if anybody else want to say something.
Thank you. I was thinking that if we start at the place where the living entity is a spirit soul, and he's chip off the old block, so he's part and parcel of Krishna, and he has a certain nature, but to serve Krishna, and Krishna is always the enjoyer, and when he becomes in the material atmosphere, he identifies with the body, and he tries to imitate Krishna. So those are the different modes of nature. He's imitating Krishna. So as far as with the different types, and when you engage in devotional service, Lord Kapila Dev explains that there's mixed devotional service and pure devotional service. So that's a nice way to see it. And for ourselves, we more or less have organized it into the 10 offenses, that our process is in chanting the holy name for purification more than the Varnashram system of going through the varnas and ashrams according to the modes of nature that influence us, is more or less been separated into material attachments mostly, and when the mind isn't being controlled to making offenses, the pride that it manifests in us. Some opportunities when the bills are finally paid.
Of course, definitely. Yeah, and then we have many examples of our good devotees that are really contributing a lot to the preaching and the movement, where they went, wealth.
He's so humble.
Definitely.
Yeah, he's in that position, and practically speaking, that's a very hard thing to overcome. So.
Definitely. Yeah. You wanted to say, oh, Mother Lakshmi. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, and the other part of the goodness, the downside.
Well, that's the second downside. Just thinking that I'm better than other
people. What is it?
Thinking that I'm better than other people.
Yeah. And being sit, you know, and just enjoy the happiness of being good. You know, like that. Yeah. Okay, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.